Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Finally Friday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one of them tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're over at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's. I actually forgot for a moment.
Oh, I understand that kind of happens. You get caught up in what you're doing, and you forget that we're actually on the air. So.
Yeah. Well, no, I just kind of almost forgot what my Twitter handle was.
What are you, Mr. Fantasy? Actually, he does remember his every week, but God forbid if he would ever actually like answer you if you tweeted him something.
Yeah.
So. You know, we just kind of see how that goes. But, I forgot what the heck. Oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you, there's been more fun stuff coming out with the Roger Goodell, Jerry Jones stuff today.
Ooh.
And there were some very unflattering quotes from Jones where he talks about how you thought Bob Kraft was going to go after you. Or you thought Bob Kraft went after you, I'll heap Bob Kraft's, I believe he called him part of the female anatomy that begins with a P. So, this is slowly but surely, probably, if he's not careful, going to lead to Jones's demise as an owner. They've already sent him a letter about conduct detrimental to the league. It is a very long process to actually get rid of an owner, but it can be done, and he seems to be working his way. I know the other part of the story was apparently Jones and Goodell had a meeting, and Jones came away from the meeting under the expectation that Ezekiel Elliott would not be suspended. And then Goodell called him to let him know that Elliott would be suspended for 6 games. And this is apparently what really kind of set this thing off. So what it seems like more and more, Dan, when, this comes out and all this other fun stuff is basically Jones is just a baby who lost his player and he's just trying to make everybody suffer for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, why would Jones leave a meeting thinking that his player isn't going to be suspended? Why couldn't Goodell just flat out say this is what's going to happen? Why would he leave a meeting?
Yeah, well, and I mean, obviously, we don't know what actually went on in the meeting, so it may have just been... Oh, what's kind of the best way to say it? Jones may have just heard what he wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I've been accused many times on having selective hearing. So, I could understand or I could see, maybe something misinterpreted to him thinking, that was going to happen. But, to be honest, if he thought that, he's a complete fool because the situation now in professional sports and society in general, you knew something was going to happen. I mean, you and I talked about it here wondering how many games he was going to get. So if Jack Jones actually thought there was going to be no suspension, he's just a boob.
Yeah, but like you said, we weren't in the room, so we don't know what was said. I mean, that's just kind of like, you know, taking it back to Ray Rice. You know, oh, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, you know, it went from, what, two games? And, I don't know if he backtracked on that. But then while what Adrian Peterson did was wrong, you know, it went to, what, 10 games? And then that New York Giants kicker got one or two games. And then everyone wasn't happy with that. So then he went back and added more. I just feel like he can't make a stand. And that's it keeps adding up to just being kind of BS. That, you know, in this country, if you know, OJ can't be convicted of murdering Nicole Brown and the other guy a second time. You know, and I know that's a great, you know, that's kind of far out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, how can you continue to just kind of go back and forth on what you say when you have no real set forth standards or protocol? You just kind of, well, today I'm going to do this. Oh, everyone's mad. So, well, then I'm going to do this instead. It's just, it's kind of, it's so wishy-washy. It's getting old. I mean, and if you're
but remember, the owners gave him that power.
Yeah, well, you know, they're idiots too, but for allowing that. But I mean, whether or not he has that power or not, I don't know. A man stands by his convictions, am I right? So why can't he decide on one thing? Why can't he? If that's his power, why is there no protocol put into it? Why is there no standards set forth? He just picks and chooses and does what he wants when he wants. And I think that's what could be frustrating.
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, it's understandable, but again, we don't know what went on. And, you know, it's going to be he said, or he said, she said, depending how you kind of look at it. But, yeah, it's you know, it was just kind of one of these situations. We're never going to know. You know, Jerry's going to go out there and he's going to blow his horn because that's basically what he is. Let's face it. He's just blowhard at this point. Some of the stuff, like I know we didn't know that actually came out. Apparently there were five separate sexual harassment charges against Ezekiel Elliott that they had evidence of. So, you know, six games seems like a pretty good punishment for, five charges of sexual harassment. So, I believe he deserved to be suspended, and I think Jerry Jones just needs to shut up and get on with it.
Now, is this something that they knew about before he was drafted or after?
No, this was something, well, you know, there was the one at Ohio State that the campus investigated. So you know where that was going. Star running back under investigation. They weren't going to find anything. But, yeah, there was apparently, and I know, you know, there was a video of him lifting up some woman's shirt at Mardi Gras. And apparently that's where the multiple of these take place. So, and this was after he was already a Cowboy.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's just kind of, and I get it. You know, you're at Mardi Gras, you're having a good time. Hey, you know, things get a little out of hand, but. You know, if it was you or I, it probably wouldn't be a big deal and nothing would come of it. But this guy's a star running back in the NFL, and that's going to make news. So, but yeah, I'm just kind of tired of, you know, listening to Jerry Jones cry. And I believe he went on to even say that he was the most important man in the NFL, or he was the most important owner or something like that. He really touted himself as being much, much more than what he actually is. So it was just kind of like, dude, you just need to shut up. It's like you're out of control here. You know your ego is just so overblown. It's just ridiculous. It's like, please just move on. And oddly, while we've got all that going on, he actually issued, I don't know if you want to call it an apology, or I guess he did say he was sorry. But there's a video in 2003 of him making, as they put it here, racially insensitive remarks. So he, of course, had to go on and, apologize to that. Apparently, his quote was, and I don't know who Jennifer is, but it says, "Hey, Jennifer, congratulations on your wedding. Now you know he's with a black girl tonight, don't you?"
It doesn't say
in the article who she is or what it was. Apparently it was just some wedding he was at, and he happened to say this on camera. You know how it is at weddings, they go around with cameras and ask you to make comments and stuff, and this was apparently his. So I don't know what it is, but of course, in these times, anything you say at all, it's going to get caught on camera and you're going to need to apologize for it, whether, you meant it one way or, or another. So it's best to just probably shut up and not say anything to anybody.
Yeah. Man, they really like to dig and then not give you all the information.
Yeah, it's just, it's just what they do. It's more provocative that way, when it comes out, because the new one, the new one today featured your quarterback. The NFL now has to investigate Jameis Winston for allegedly groping a female Uber driver. Winston, of course, said this is completely false, and the police even came out and said they had no knowledge of the incident. It was never reported to them. So it's odd, I'm trying to figure out how they tracked it down. If it was never reported, what did you do? I mean, did you chase down this female Uber driver, or, how did you find out about it? I mean, obviously she must have told somebody, but there was never a report filed, no kind of complaint, nothing like that. But it was just kind of like, okay, and it's another situation where it's his word against hers, because the article did say he was the only passenger in the car at the time. So who knows? But yeah, obviously Winston has denied, everything. He said the allegations are untrue. And I don't know anything about Uber, but I would think if somebody tried to do that to me, I would probably ask them to get out of the car. So.
Well, I mean, was he sitting behind her and reached over while she was driving? And that's the thing, Uber drivers are in the front and they don't usually allow their passengers. They're not supposed to allow their passengers in the front unless there's way too many. And this is Jameson Winston.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't think he'd be using just any regular Uber. I would assume he's using Uber Black, but I could be wrong on that. And Uber Black is not a racial thing by any means. It's,
it is now,
yeah, the more luxury thing, where you get picked up in a black Tahoe, or I don't know if they still make Lincolns like they did for the mafia and politicians, oddly, what I'm talking about back in the day. So, but it's more the exclusive So, I mean, how was the situation played out? And if that were the case, I mean, like you said, there was no complaint file, no nothing with police. I don't know how the NFL can really investigate further. But then again, as far as law enforcement goes, they're set by a standard of rules where the NFL's investigation doesn't have those limitations, fiction or anything like that. So if anything happens,
yeah.
I think, you know, if it goes real big and there's some kind of court cases, it might come to the point where Uber drivers and the other company, Lyft, may come to the point where you're going to have a camera in your car, otherwise you're not going to be able to be an Uber Lyft driver.
Yeah, well, here's the story they have. The driver, of course, declined to give her name, but she talked to BuzzFeed News. She went on to say she picked Winston up around 2 a.m. on March 13th of 2016 in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh.
Winston asked her to stop at a drive-through restaurant. During the ride and while in line, the driver said Winston reached over and grabbed her crotch for 3 to 5 seconds, only removing his hand when she said something. So she does say she reported. Yeah, she said she reported the incident to Uber at the time. But yeah, it says she was reported the incident to Uber at the time. An Uber spokesman told the Mickey Mouse Network that the behavior the driver reported is disturbing and wrong. The rider was permanently removed from the app shortly after they learned of the incident. So. But yeah, this is apparently the hot story everywhere. I mean, we've heard about it, you know, all about it in Hollywood, and you know, I saw today somebody posted that apparently Ron Jeremy, the incredibly famous porn star, has been accused of sexual harassment. I was kind of under the impression that was his job, but you know, I don't know. So. You know, I'm waiting for you or I to be accused. So,
well, that's why I don't talk to women I don't know.
Yeah, it's just kind of strange now. How things are just kind of shaking out or falling out or however you kind of want to look at it, but it's just kind of nuts. But all right, we gotta jump over to the NBA here, Dan, because last night, obviously, we had the big matchup. You know, the Celtics put their 13-game winning streak on the line against the Golden State Warriors, and actually ended up coming from behind to get a big win in the fourth quarter. And what I was really surprised by was the fact that after the game, multiple Warriors started complaining about the refs' calls and kind of, I don't know, you know, maybe not wanting to give the Celtics credit, however you want to, you know, you want to look at it. It just really seemed, you know, like a regular home setup. I mean, the Celtics shot 38 free throws. The Warriors shot 19. To be fair, the Warriors aren't a fantastic driving team, so they're not going to get a lot of foul calls going to the basket. You know, that's just kind of the setup, the style they play. You know, I'm sure when the two teams meet in Golden State, it'll be the exact opposite way. You know, and the Warriors will shoot 40 free throws and the Celtics will shoot 20. You know, it's just kind of how the NBA works. If you're two good teams, you know, the home team always gets the call. It, you know, it's just kind of the way it works there. But, I mean, shouldn't the Warriors be a little more concerned about blowing a lead than they should be crying about the refs?
Yeah. I mean, they did lose out on 20 points in free throws. But, you know, that's kind of my gripe with the game to begin with. The reliance on free throws is just way too big. I mean, let him play. But with the drive and fouls, I think it's ridiculous.
You know, and I mean, just looking at their shooting, you know, Draymond Green went 3 for 11. Steph Curry went 3 for 14. And Klay Thompson went 5 for 18. So they didn't necessarily shoot the ball very well. Kevin Durant did. He was 9 of 18. So he was, you know, he was rolling a little bit, but you know, the rest of the big guys there didn't play very well. You know, it's just one of those games, so to speak, you know, how it kind of worked out. But yeah, it was quite amazing, you know, how quickly a good team, you know, and the Warriors are 11-4. I mean, they're still the top team in the West, I believe. I can double check that as I'm rambling here. But yeah, I was just shocked at how quickly a very good team went to complaining about the refs. I almost thought I was listening to LeBron for a minute there, and they're actually a half a game behind Houston. They're the second best team in the West right now. So, but yeah, again, I guess that's just the nature of the NBA, right? You lose and it's not your fault. You got to blame it on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. Did you? You know, I actually kind of forgot the game was even on. I know it was on one of the networks. Did you manage to catch any of it? Did you find it accidentally? Like I said, I completely forgot about it.
No, I turned it on, but then I seen that Bear Grylls had a new show, and they were at halftime, so I turned to that, and then completely forgot to go back.
Oh, you're just terrible with Bear. You and your Bear Grylls. At least it wasn't Ice Road Truckers.
No, the season ended.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sure there'll be another one soon. You'll be able to jump on there. But yeah, you know, like I said, I just kind of spaced it off. You know, it's weird because I knew it was on. You know, I mean, I had heard people talking about it all day and all that stuff, and I just, you know, when it got to it, I was like, oh, yeah, duh, this is on. So, you know, by then it was just time for me to call it a night, and I was done. So, but yeah, I did see a story, Dan. I guess it's a good thing you didn't, you know, spend money on this guy. The Cavaliers are saying that Derrick Rose will need at least 2 more weeks to recover from his sprained left ankle.
Wow, he's just hurting.
So yeah, I wanted to see here when the last time he actually got into a game was. He actually did play 2 days ago. So that's a bit of a. Oh no, he didn't play. He hasn't played since November 7th. So as of right now, Dan, his sprained ankle has taken 2 weeks to recover. Or 10 days. I don't remember. I haven't had a sprained ankle in a long time, so I don't remember how long they take to recover. How long does yours take to recover? You had kind of a sprained ankle. Oh, okay. So, well, maybe that's Derrick Rose's problem.
when I sprained my ankle, but I was 14, so I don't remember that one.
So, yeah, I don't remember the last time I actually sprained an ankle. I don't want to jinx myself, so I just better kind of shut up. But, you know, just one of those things. It's Derrick Rose, and I definitely assume he will be out, multiple weeks. It will probably be even more. I won't be surprised if it's, you know, 4 weeks, just because it's Derrick. And, you know, we in the Chicago area here know how his recovery time is. But I did also see, you know, your other guy, you know, Lonzo, decided he needed a haircut. So he went up, he got himself trimmed up so he would, he would look better going into tonight's game against the Suns. You know, he got himself benched in the fourth quarter of the last game because, you know, Dan, I mean, I know it's early in the season, so, you know, you don't want to hang monikers or anything on the kid, but let's face it, he has been horrible shooting the basketball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, just flat out, almost embarrassing. Like, against the 76ers, he was 1 of 9. That was the game he got benched in the fourth quarter. He was 3 for 10 against the Suns. He did have a good night against the Bucks. He went 7 for 12, but then it was 3 of 12 and 4 of 15 in his last 5 games. He's shooting a whopping 31% from the field and 22.2% from behind the 3-point line. So to make it even worse, he's only shooting 45.5% from the free throw line. So even when he's given gimmies, he's having a difficult time taking advantage of them. You know, I heard some talk today, Dan, about, I don't know, possible benching, you know, or maybe taking him out of the starting lineup. Do you really see anything happening like that with this guy? Or you think they'll just try to ride it out?
I mean, I think they have to ride it out. They really don't have any other options. I mean, the only thing I can say from watching a couple of games is that the kid does not want to lose. He does not want to give up. But I think that's the biggest problem with him. Well, you know, first to comment on the haircut, I'm glad he did, because, you know, the sideshow Bob look is kind of, you know, with kids these days. But the other thing is, I think you brought it up before, is the fact that this kid has never really failed. Speaks to the generation, no?
Yeah, I don't know. He's probably got a lot of trophies, you know. So,
well, besides the point, I mean, he went from being, you know, the hot kid for high school, goes to UCLA, goes to a winning team. If you watch his Facebook show, that's pretty much what he talks about, is he hates to lose. And in the situation that he's been brought up in, there was no losing. And now, I mean, I think a lot of people expected him to go to the Lakers, and the Lakers were just going to take off. And, I mean, watch the rest of the team. He does pass the ball around. And just like Carmelo, you can't get assists when your guys aren't making a shot you're passing it off to. So, I mean, I believe he's got the heart. And you brought it up, and you mentioned that you don't think we're going to see the greatness that he's supposed to have for another couple of years. So I don't know. I think that's part of it, is, you know, more or less taking a step back hasn't done him so well. From going from winning, winning, winning to now having to lose.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, obviously the team will be much improved next year when LeBron signs there, and, you know, that'll be, you know, a whole different, we'll forget all about this when it, you know, it comes up. So, you know, it won't be that, you know, too big of a deal there.
I hope he doesn't sign there. I don't go to the Clippers.
Yeah. So, but we did have, you know, some injury news for the night in case you're juggling your fantasy lineup. It looks like Ricky Rubio is going to miss the game because he has a sore Achilles. That seems to be kind of, yeah, that's my guy. I don't have him this year, but he was my guy. That seems to be the injury this year in the NBA, as Mike Conley, the Grizzlies have him listed as out indefinitely because of soreness in his left Achilles heel. So I don't know what the heck is going on with NBA guys and Achilles, but it's going to cost two guys a couple games tonight. So, you know, you'll
you
have
were supposed to
make
to say,
your necessary fantasy adjustment.
Yeah. that you were supposed to say, I don't know what's going on with the Achilles, but it's really killing them.
Oh, that's terrible. Just terrible.
Does that consist of a dad joke? Or, there we go. Or is that considered a dad joke?
Bad on all fronts. Is all that's considered. There's no good in any of that. So, but there is a hugely full schedule of NBA games. If you know you are interested, it's the doubleheader night on the Mickey Mouse Network. But we have some that are just getting ready to get underway. You got Detroit at Indiana and Miami at Washington. They're getting ready to start. Then it's Utah at Brooklyn. The Clippers are at Cleveland. The Knicks at the Raptors. The Hornets are here in town to beat the Bulls tonight. The first game on the Mickey Mouse Network is Oklahoma City at San Antonio. We also have Minnesota at Dallas, Portland at Sacramento. The nightcap on the good old station there over there is the New Orleans Hornets at the Denver Nuggets. And then the Phoenix Suns are in L.A. to play the Lakers. So that's your full schedule of NBA. If you plan on watching tonight, you can probably find a game somewhere to check it out if you're interested.
Yay!
So, but and we did you know we had a football game last night, Dan. I know you and I kind of completely forgot to talk about it, but no surprise there. It's the NFL, and well, you know it's not hugely exciting, but the Steelers did put up 40 points. They got a big win over the Titans, 40-17. So the Steelers improved to 8-2. The Titans fall to 6-4. You know, if you had Ben Roethlisberger, he had a good night, 299 yards, 4 TDs. Marcus Mariota racked up some decent yardage, 306. He threw a touchdown, but he also threw 4 interceptions. Wow. Not the best night for Le'Veon Bell, though. 12 carries for just 46 yards. Antonio Brown was the guy to have. 10 receptions, 144 yards, scored 3 touchdowns.
And I had him.
So, there you go. And then Rashidi Matthews had a big night for the Titans. 5 receptions, 113 yards, and did score a touchdown. And in our league where you have 2 tight ends, Delanie Walker had 6 receptions for 90 yards, so that's very big there. So, yeah, it was definitely a Pittsburgh blowout. The uniforms weren't even terrible. I was kind of happy about that because, you know, those color rush uniforms drive me nuts sometimes. You know, the Seattle lime green ones just make me want to throw up. But did you check this one out? You know, they shot the majority of the game with the overhead camera. So did you get to check that out?
No, I didn't. We went and did some Christmas shopping, and then I forgot the game was on, to be honest with you. I don't know, the NFL just, I don't know if it's the negativity, the negative publicity. Half the game is just sucking. I haven't really got into it this year.
Yeah, you know, I saw a little of it, you know, it just, you know, I know everybody loved the camera angle and stuff, and, you know, this is what they want to do. And apparently this is Adam Silver's plan for the NBA. I know we talked about it. He wants to make it look more like a video game. I just, on like passing plays and stuff, it's really cool because you can see the defense and how they're trying to stop it. But on running plays, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, I didn't learn anything there. So,
well, I mean, Adam Silver wants to make it look like a, what did you say, a video game?
Video game
doesn't really, yeah, you don't really play from an overhead view playing a game. You can't do that. It's the side view, almost like ABC's Saturday night games. You know, what raised a little bit more than what the NBA has. The NBA's camera is a little bit more ground. It's just slightly on an angle shooting down. I don't know how that would come into play. That doesn't make any sense. But the overhead cam, the thing I automatically think of is soccer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't that the whole point that football, you don't use your you actually don't use your feet in it, really, except for running around. But I thought it was supposed to be different than soccer. Why are you going to try to make it like soccer?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was just one of those things, you know, something new to try. You know, I mean, occasionally, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but years ago they did a game with no announcers, just sideline mics. So, you know, they do experiment, you know, from time to time like this, just to kind of, you know, kind of see what you can get.
But of course they didn't do that on a Buck Aikman game though.
Yeah. God, I wish they would have, but they didn't. So that would have been so much more fun for me had they done that, but no such luck.
Yeah.
I always get to listen to Joe Buck because he's my guy. So.
Well, you know, like you said, an overhead cam I think would be cool when it comes to a passing play. But I mean, if you want all that coach style stuff, just go pay. I think it's down to $79.99 now. Just go pay for the app. You can watch all the coaching clips and rewatch the game and all that crap later on. I don't know that it's going to really make the game any better. I think Vince McMahon's cam made the game just a little better. I think, you know, that was a pretty cool idea, having the camera on the wire. But, you know, kind of getting off the logistics of the game, you know, the one question I had, and it just, you brought up Le'Veon Bell didn't have this great night. The Cowboys, you know, you mentioned haven't really won without Ezekiel Elliott. And there only seems to be a handful of these guys in the NFL right now. I mean, but with the way they play the game, is the running game almost becoming obsolete? You know, you get a guy who's hot for a week or two. I mean, look at the Bears. We're not talking about Jordan Howard or Cohen at all anymore.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if obsolete is the correct word, but it's no longer the exciting position. You know, everybody wants to talk about quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and to be fair, the Cowboys also can't run the ball because their left tackle is out, and that may be a bigger factor more than more than even Elliott being out. So, you know, we'll just, you know, have to kind of wait and see how that all works out. But yeah, it's, you know, like wide receiver seems to be the sexy position, you know, and it's kind of like, okay, you know, here, these guys are this and that. And then of course, you know, everybody wants to talk about quarterback. You know, that's just going to be what it is, you know, how they do these kind of things. So it's like, great. So yeah, you know, and I mean, I think, you know, in some instances, if you've got a really top running back, they'll be talked about. You know, they'll find a way to talk about them, you know, especially when he's in trouble with the law for whatever he did this time. You know, that's just kind of how it works out now. But yeah, otherwise, you know, we want to talk about quarterbacks. We want to talk about, you know, wide receivers or, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, just one of those fun things. But here's I'm going to call this an interesting historical fact, just because I like to do these kind of things. On this day in 1968, the NFL showed what is now called the Heidi Bowl. They had a game with the New York Jets against the Oakland Raiders, and the Jets were up. They were up big going into the last. It's actually 9 seconds of the game. As weird as this, weird as it sounds, you know, the Jets had a 23-29 lead. It looked like they were going to win the game. You know, it was just one of those things. And they cut away from the game because the network, which was NBC, was showing the film Heidi. And they wanted to begin the broadcast on time. So they went away from the game thinking it was over. The Jets were going to win. Well, what fans missed out on is first Raiders quarterback threw a 20-yard, Daryl LaMonica was the quarterback, threw a 20-yard pass to halfback Charlie Smith. He was face masked, so that moved the ball up even farther. The next play, LaMonica hit Smith again, who took it all the way in for a touchdown. So the Raiders took a 36-32 lead. Then on the kickoff after the touchdown, the Jets fumbled it, and Preston Riddlehuber, yes, believe it or not, that's his real name, picked the ball up on the 2-yard line and ran it in for the Raiders. The Raiders ended up winning the game 43-32, but nobody saw the last two touchdowns because NBC cut away to Heidi. So it's you know, it's definitely one of the biggest, I don't know, call it botches or whatever how you wanted to do it, but it was November sweeps. And they, you know, they wanted to win with a high rating for the movie. So that's what that was the decision was made. It looks like it was made by NBC programmer Dick Klein. So it was just kind of like, hey, here we go. We're gonna make you know, make the move here and get the big switch. And yeah, that was it. This is this also led to the NFL inserting clauses in their TV contracts that stated that all games would be broadcast completely in their home markets. So, you know, and then NBC for its part installed what they called the Heidi phone in the control room, so they could get a hold of somebody in case there was ever a situation like the you know, like this. But yeah, that was you know, 1968, so we're coming up on what, you know, for almost 40 years, 39 years that this happened. So yeah, it was quite a you know, a humorous gaffe as you kind of look back. But you know, just one of those you know, one of those things. I mean, back then, you know, the NFL wasn't, you know, the ratings getter or anything like that. I mean, it was just kind of, you know, new at the time. And, you know, they were going, you know, a different route. And, you know, those ratings were important. And, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, this is what we're doing. So... I mean, just think about that now. I mean, the idea of that actually happening now is kind of, you know, humorous that you would switch away from a game to show, especially, you know, a movie, you know, with the way things are. But, you know, back, yeah, that was Joe Namath's Jets. So.
And did you watch?
Yeah, just
Heidi?
You know, that was one of. Well, I was three, so I don't remember what I watched. I watched whatever my parents had on. I'm willing to bet they had it on because my father was a big football fan, and I'm sure he was probably thrilled when they switched over to. You know, hey, what's going on? We've got this game here, so. You know, that's just kind of how it works out, so. You know, but I did, you know, Dan, I know you were really concerned, and I did find out some good news for you. Danica Patrick announced that, you know, this Sunday will be her last full-time race in NASCAR, but she is going to come back next year, Dan, for the Daytona 500, and then she's planning on racing the Indianapolis 500. So you won't be completely gone for Danica. She will still be part of your life for a couple races. So you should be okay there, right?
What does that even mean? What is the point?
You know, it's just a way for somebody to get a sponsor to get a little bit of attention. You know, it won't be a thing where she'll be a threat to win either of these races, but you know, she'll get in the car. It'll bring some attention to whoever's sponsoring it. And you know, that's what NASCAR is. So, you know, that's kind of how it works out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, at the same token, you know, who does she drive under? Where do her points go? Cause now, you know, the team gets points when, you know, how does that all work? And if that were the case, then why not let anybody who has a little bit of NASCAR training, I guess you can't let anybody, but why not let any celebrity who takes a 6-week course, just pick up a car and drive?
Well, because they would probably kill themselves or somebody around them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, you know, that's the main reason. I mean, she is actually a professional race car driver. So that's the big difference there. I mean, it takes a lot of years of working up from, you know, midgets to dirt tracks to, you know, there's, you know, West Coast Can-Am. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of different series where you learn how to drive. So, you know, like you or I, as much as we think we could, we just couldn't get behind the wheel and mash the gas pedal and win a NASCAR race. So,
no, I couldn't without a catheter. My point being is, you know, this doesn't happen in any other major sport. So, like, you know, the Cubs wouldn't just call up Billy Williams and let him play for a day. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, but to be fair, the Sox did add Mickey Minoso to the roster when he was in his 60s as an attraction.
Yeah, well, we... No comment.
So,
exactly.
You know, and I mean, it's also
see that today in professional sports,
right? You know, it's also different. You know, a different scenario. You know, it's one race, and not, you know, like whoever would be in that car probably wouldn't win. So it gives this owner or, you know, this team a chance to get a little attention and make a little money. You know, and as you know, as we know, NASCAR is a very expensive sport. So, you know, it gives them the chance, you know, get a sponsor out there. And, you know, people are going to want to talk to her regardless of what she does. And, you know, the first thing she's going to say is the so-and-so Chevy or Ford or Toyota drove this way or that way today. So, you know, that name is going to get out there. You know, like I know, you know, you associate Clint Bowyer every time you buy a 5-hour energy, you think of Clint. You know, they've been a fantastic sponsor for him for, you know, God, coming on probably like 5 or 6 years now. You know, it's how the NASCAR game is played. I mean, you've seen guys, I mean, Jeffrey Earnhardt has driven a ton of races this year. He hasn't come anywhere close to winning. He always ends up 5 or 6 laps down or sometimes just out of the race. But he continues to be able to get in the car because his last name is Earnhardt. So, you know, it's just – this is how these smaller teams survive to continue on and not, you know, break even and try to not lose money. And, you know, even though she's never won anything, she's still for some reason, still a name. I know this year was what the year, I don't think we heard a ton about her for the first time in a while. So, but like you asked about her points, she would get her points. Obviously she wouldn't be going anywhere, but the thing would be important if she was also earning points for the owner. So
well, that's what I meant. I didn't, you should have included that. I just kind of felt like, oh, well, Danica and it's going to be like Talladega Nights where she just has me on the, you know, on the hood. Who's ME? Oh, that's me. You're driving for me. You're driving for yourself. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, being that it's one race and it is, you know, it is the biggest race of the year. I'm sure she'll be able to get a sponsor, you know, just a one-time thing. So, you know, that probably won't be too big of an issue, but yeah, you know, it's a nice way for a smaller team. And like, we don't know who she's driving for yet. I don't think anybody has said.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll have to see, but you know, that it's, you know, call it her farewell or however you want to look at it, you know, cause like, obviously this Sunday is Dale Jr.'s last race. So, you know, he'll get the big goodbye. And then we're going to get Martin Truex, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, or Kevin Harvick as a champion, because it's the final race and those are the final four guys. So, you know, it's a big weekend, and then all of a sudden in February they're back and we're rolling the cars out there again to get going.
It's a short off season for them.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how quick the turnaround is for those guys. You know, you don't really think it is, but yeah, they spin around really quick, and it's like, oh wow, okay, this is here again. So, you know, just
now, you know, I know we don't really have our expert anymore and to ask these questions, but since they implemented the playoff system, you know, and I've been trying to figure this out, what is the point of the sub 15 drivers being on the track at the same time as the playoff guys? You know, when I first heard the playoff announcement, you know, I just assumed after Chicago Speedway's race and, you know, in late September, I just assumed, you know, we'd get those 15 cars on the track, and then the subsequent weeks, you know, the next guys would get knocked off. So we'd end up at this race with only four drivers literally on the track. What is the purpose of continuing with, you know, a complete set of drivers?
Well, you know, there's owner's points and manufacturer's points. Mm-hmm. And of course, the biggest thing of all, you forgot the words to live by on this show, Dan. Cash rules everything around me, because you win and there's prize money. So, you know, you want to go out there, you know, like last week, you know, Matt Kenseth is another driver who doesn't have a ride for next year. Unbelievably so. He got a win. He's not in the playoffs, but you know, Joe Gibbs Racing picks up some really valuable owner's points for next year. And then he gets a little bit of prize money there. So.
Oh, see, I didn't understand. That's what I didn't understand. I mean, like, it's just confusing to me, because a guy could become a champion without winning the race, basically.
Yeah, he can. The highest of those four guys wins the championship. So, yeah, you could actually finish. I mean, in reality, as humorous as it might be, they could all wreck each other and end up, you know, what, 40th, 39th, 38th, and 37th, and that guy in 37th would be your champion. So, you know, I mean, obviously that would be the worst-case scenario for NASCAR, but it could happen. I don't think it will, but you know, it could happen. And, you know, they've been really lucky with this kind of setup. I know it was just a few years ago now. Well, maybe it was a little more than that. But, you know, Tony Stewart and Carl Edwards were 1 and 2 going into the final few laps looking to win the championship. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, the race, you know, that last race has always been really positive for NASCAR. So hopefully that continues this year and they get another good one. You know, but even so, I mean, it's still going to probably do really well in the ratings, because, you know, it's Dale Jr.'s last time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll have to see. And I'm sure, you know, he'll be another guy who'll pop up from time to time and run a race here or there, be it, you know, if it's in the Monster Energy series or if he just stays in, you know, the Busch series. But, you know, I'm sure we'll see him. And he is still, I think he's still a team owner in the Busch series. So, yeah, he'll definitely be around. But, yeah, so, yeah, that wraps up with, you know, those three guys. Are those four guys trying to win a title? I know they've been, you know, they've been out doing the, you know, the talk show circuit and stuff. So we'll have to see how it, you know, how it works out for everybody. But, you know,
and I feel bad for them if they have to go on the Fallon show.
Why, you don't like Fallon?
No, he just, I don't know. There's just something about, he's one of those guys, and, you know, no offense to him or whatever, but you ever just have that friend or not friend, you know, that's friends with all your friends that every time you see him, you just want to punch him in the face?
Oh, you mean like Mr. Fantasy?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's just something about Jimmy Fallon that even in the old Saturday Night Live days, when I did watch it, you know, like he did the news segment, and every time that came out, I just turned it off. I just, like, I couldn't watch it. You know, and then when he took over Leno's job, right? Then I completely stopped watching that show altogether. I barely watched Leno to begin with because I grew up with Johnny Carson, and I don't know. I never really found Jay Leno that funny. I don't know if it was me or, you know, I guess before he took over, as we ramble off on the Friday evening, I never saw his stand-up or his comedy, so maybe I just wasn't used to him. But it felt like Carson retired, and there's this guy, Jay Leno, and he's really not that funny. You know, can you understand him while he's laughing the whole time?
I get it too. I was never a Leno fan. You know, just one of those things that, you know, I'd never really enjoyed his comedy. So, but yeah, I don't, you know, like I'm not a huge Jimmy Fallon fan either. You know, any of that late night stuff. I mean, I obviously with my schedule, I don't get to see it. I'll catch highlights here or there, but. You know, it's nothing that I'm going to go out of my way to look for. But, you know, that's how they have to do it. You know, they have to go around and, you know, get the interest going. So.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing Jimmy Fallon's show does do that I think is hilarious is when they have celebrities read mean tweets about them. I mean, it kills me every time.
Yeah, I think everybody does that. I think. No. That seems to. All right, well, the music means it's time for Dan and I to take off. Now, don't forget, Mr. Fantasy and I are here at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning for 2 big hours of Sports Time Radio. But while we're gone, you know what to do. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. That new blog will be up tomorrow morning, so look for that. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed as well, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can hunt Dan and I out there on the Twitterverse as well. We'll have fun talking to you. As always, big thanks for listening live. It's cool when you take the time and spend an hour with us like that. But don't forget, the podcast is available anytime you want to listen to it over at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.